ברוכים הבאים. We are studying the Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav Shalom. We continue where we left off last Motzei Shabbat. We are in the chapter 145, Kuf Mem He, which is the chapter of Tehillah LeDavid, or as we commonly refer to it as Ashre. We're up to Pasuk Yud Tet. Rison Yireav Yaaseh Ve'et Shavatam Yishma V'yoshi'im. The Pasuk says, those that fear God and revere Him, God fulfills their will. Rison Yireav, the will of those that fear Him, Yaaseh Ve'et Shavatam Yishma V'yoshi'im. And he hears their cry when they pray to him, and he answers them. So there's a few interpretations of this pasuk. On a simple understanding, we see the difference between Borei Olam, Melech Malchei Melachim, and a mortal king. When it comes to a mortal king, a human being, he demands that his subjects fulfill his will. But Borei Olam, who is the most humble of all kings, Ritzon Yireav Yaaseh, God fulfills the will of His own creation. The Magid from Mezrich explained this pasuk al pi hadirash. He said like this: not always do we know what to pray for. Sometimes we pray for things that we think may be good for us, but in truth, they may deem to be detrimental. A person might pray to marry a certain girl, or he wishes that if he would have certain monies, but Borei Olam knows better than he does that this girl is not good for him. And these monies, if he gets it, could be lera'ato. And therefore, sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu, he saves the person by changing his will. He makes the person's will not to ask for things that are going to be detrimental for him. Because if he asks for them and he's sincere, God's going to have to give it to him. So God changes his will. So the Magid Mezrich explains, Rison Yireav Yaaseh. God makes the will of Yireav. He makes the will, he makes them want things that are good for them. Rison Yireav, their will, Yaaseh, he makes their will. Because once they're asking for the right things, so then already, it'll be beneficial to them. I saw another dirash, Alpeya dirash, from Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera, Zikotoy Egen Aleinu. He explained that a Kadosh Baruch Hu asks from all of us to have Yir'ah. And if a person has Yir'ah, fear of God, like it says in the Pasuk, then God answers us and He accepts our prayers. But the prerequisite is Yir'ah. So he says, the word Yir'ah is actually a Rashi Tevot. What's the Rashi Tevot? So he writes like this: the Yir'ah Rashi Tevot, the Aleph is Elul, the Resh is Rosh Hashanah, the Yud is Yom Kippurim, and the He is Hoshana Rabbah. Which means, in the word Yir'ah, you have all the high holidays, starting from Elul, all the way through Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippurim, to Hoshana Rabbah. Once a person is able to make it through those holy days with the proper fear of God, then rest assured, Nison Yire'av, those people that follow the recipe of Yir'ah, Ve'et Shavatam Yishma V'yoshi'im, certainly their prayers are going to be answered. Lastly on this Pasuk, seemingly we can ask a question. The beginning of the Pasuk contradicts the end of the Pasuk. In the beginning of the Pasuk it says, God fulfills the will of those that fear Him. Even before they express it, just when it's still in their mind, when it's still Ritzon. But the second part of the Pasuk says, V'chavatam yishma v'yoshi'im, that God only hears them until they express it in crying and in prayer. Make up your mind. Is it Ritzon or is it Shavatan? So we can explain it according to something that we know. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns the prayers of the tzaddikim. That's why he makes them barren. Sarah Emenu for 90 years couldn't have children. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves to hear the prayers of the tzaddik. So she was praying and praying and praying. So the explanation is like this. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on day one, decided to give Sarah children. Ritzon Yirav Yaseh. God already received the will of Sarah from the beginning. But what? He wants them to pray for it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metaveh for the tefillatam shel tzaddikim. Therefore, ve'etshavatam yishma v'yoshiem. But already, she was answered from the beginning. But for what tefillah does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds that it's beneficial for the person to pray, because it elevates the person to closer levels, and therefore, he waits for the tefillah. The next pasuk says, Shomer Adonai et kol ohavav, ve'et kol arasha'im yashmid. There's two levels. There's those people that serve God be'ahava, from love, and those God that serve Hashem yir'ah, fear. Ahava is a higher level. And that's what the pasuk says. Borei Olam not only protects those that love him from the rasha, from the terror, from the evil person, he protects them and he kills the rasha that came after him. It's twofold. Shomer Hashem et kol ha'avav. He doesn't only protect them from the evil, but ve'et kol ha'asha'im yashmid. Where those that just fear him get half a blessing. God is shomer et yire'av, but he doesn't kill the rasha'im that come against them. And therefore the advantage of the service of ahava is twofold. The end of the chapter goes back to a full circle to the beginning of the chapter. Tehilat Adonai yedabber pi, v'yibarech kol basar shem kodsho le'olam va'ed. The chapter started off how? Tehilat le'David. And what did we say? We said on this chapter that anybody that praises God in this world will be zocheh to praise God in the next world. Like we said, Ashrei yoshevei betecha od yehalelu chasela. Va'abarecha shimcha le'olam va'ed. Those that praise God here will have the zichut to praise God le'olam va'ed. And the chapter ends, Tehilat Hashem yedabber pi. That the psalmist, the one that reads the chapter, makes a commitment. I commit myself for the future. That the praise of God yedabber pi. Vivarech ko basar shem kodsho, and as a result, I am going to bless your holy name le'olam va'ed, for eternity. Our custom is to add one more line to the chapter. Ve'anachnu nevarech ya me'ata ve'ad olam, the same concept, and we are going to praise you me'ata ve'ad olam for eternity. Hallelujah, may your name be praised. So that finishes chapter Kuf Memheh, which is the chapter of Ashrei. Now we could move on to the next chapter, which is 146, which is also part of Pesukei Dezimra. And that's really the theme of tonight's Derash. This is a chapter that's main focus is the concept of putting our faith and betachon in the Almighty. And that those that put their faith in Him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them and saves them. Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! Praise Yah, which is Hashem. Hallelin nefshi et Adonai. Let my soul literally praise Hashem. Now, why does it say nafshi? Because, as we know, speech is a product of the soul. Like it says in the Pasuk, that God made into man l'nefesh haya. Nefesh haya literally means a living soul. The Targum explains the words nefesh haya l'ruach memalela, a spirit that has the ability to talk. Therefore, our ability to express ourselves doesn't come from the mouth. The mouth is just a vessel. It's a conduit. But the praise actually comes from within. And therefore, David says, Halilin nefshi et Hashem. It comes from the essence of where speech is drawn from the soul itself, from the nefesh. Ahalela Adonai behayai, azamera l'Elohai be'odi. Here David HaMelech tells us the purpose of life, the purpose of our existence. Ahalela Hashem behayai. I will praise Hashem as long as I am alive. Azamera l'Elohai be'odi. I will sing His songs as long as I exist. Be'odi, as long as I exist. I once heard an interpretation based on this pasuk from the great Hasid, Hasidah Kadisha, Rav Chaim Brim, Alav Shalom. When we were once studying on a Thursday night, we had a custom to learn with the great Sadiq on Thursday nights in Yerushalayim. So Rav Chaim asked us the following question. He said, if let's say a person was buried, he's dead, and all of a sudden Eliyahu Navi comes and he resurrects him. And he tells him, you have another hour of life. He says, what would you do with that hour? So everybody right away is thinking. Somebody says they're going to run to their family. Another one says they're going to run to the Bet Midrash. It's a higher level. And each one was trying to think, what would we do with that extra hour that we were given? So he said, this answer is given by David HaMelech. Ahalela Adonai behayai azamera l'Elohai be'odi. That the purpose of life, as long as I have life and as long as I exist, I'm going to praise you. And therefore he says, what I would do for that hour, take out a Tehillim book and just sing the praises. That's what David HaMelech is saying. As long as I'm alive, my purpose is to praise you. To sing the praises of Hashem as long as I exist. And that's the main function of a person. Maybe we don't spend enough time praising Hashem. But this is through the creation, through observing the world around us. We should be singing the songs of Hashem constantly, as long as we have life. But I want to explain to you the way the Malbim saw this pasuk. He says, what's the difference between Hayai and Odi? Azamera l'Elohai be'odi. So I explained it, and I will sing the praises of God, not only as long as I'm alive, but as long as I exist. Alive, exist, it's the same thing. So the Malbim says, beautiful. Odi, he says, is derived from the word in Hebrew, od. Od is additional. And he says like this, every human being has two things. God endows him with hayim, and God endows him also with odi, with an additional power. What is that additional power? Those are the individual strengths and talents that God gives each individual. Every person has certain kohot, has certain innate abilities and strengths that he's born with. This is beyond and extra from the regular life that he has. Everybody has a measure of od, of more, inner strengths that are unique to each individual. And therefore the pasuk is saying two things. Number one, you have to praise God, b'hayai, in your life. But more importantly, You have to tap into your God-given abilities and talents. Azamira l'Elohai, and that's where the song of God must come from. Me'odi, from the Od. That's exactly right. Very good. It's connected to the last chapter. You said good. It's the Od in you. It's the additional part in you that is your signature, that's unique to you, that's where you have to praise God. With this, I wanted to explain and expound on a little because it's so important. We all know that no two human beings are the same. And everybody has a certain a leaning or a certain gravitation to certain different mitzvot. Somebody, to him, this is seat. He loves it. He's enamored by this mitzvah. Another person you see is makpid on the mitzvah of tefillin. Another one, to him, mikveh is very important. Another one, he's a baal chesed. Although we have to fulfill all the tariyag mitzvot, but you see, even in the Gemara, when they would ask certain hachamim, in what merit did you live a long life? One rabbi says, I was careful with the kiddush. Another rabbi says, I never walked 4 steps without tefillin. One says, I never learned Torah in place that you're not allowed. Another rabbi gave the credit because he was careful on shalosh se'udot. Of course they kept all the tariyag mitzvot. But every person has a certain natural magnetism that he has to certain mitzvot. The Benu Ari writes that's how you know what your purpose is. Where you're attracted to, that's where you have to direct your kohot. And that's where you have to give your strength to. If a person doesn't have the brain to study Torah 24 hours a day, so obviously that's not his item. Does it mean he doesn't have to learn? Of course he has to learn every day. But he should put his strength in tefillah. Somebody doesn't have his strength in tefillah, he puts his strength in gimilut hasadim. And so on and so forth. There's a famous story that we studied in the Nevi'im. It's a story of Navot. The story of Navot is a very, very important lesson. Navot lived next to the king Ahav. He had a field. The king Ahav one day looked outside his window and he saw the field of Navot. And he said, I wish I had that field. So he went to Navot and he gave him an offer. And Navot said, it's not for sale. So Ahav was depressed. He came home all sad. His wife, Izebel, Zvale, she came along and said, what are you depressed for? Says, he doesn't want to sell me the field. He says, you're the king. You don't have to ask him. Eminent domain. Just go and seize it. Go put a fence up. It's your field. So she says, don't worry. I'm going to get it for you. So what does she do? She brought false witnesses against Navot. And she trumped up charges against him that Chas v'Shalom, he blasphemed God. That he did something, he committed a big crime. The false witnesses were accepted in the court, and as a result, they killed Navot. Once Navot was dead, Ezebel says, the field is yours. And the rabbis all ask, what happened to Navot? Why did this happen to him? What avon did he do in order to deserve such a mitam meshunah, such an awkward death, and for his field to be repossessed? So they say, Navot had a good voice. Navot was actually a hazan. And every year, he would go up to Yerushalayim during the holidays, and he would be the hazan. and his voice would inspire all the pilgrims that went up with him to get closer to Hashem. One year, Nevot said, you know what? I'm tired from the Hazanut. I'm not going to go up to sing. Borei Olam says, I gave you a talent, and your life is dependent on using that God-given talent. Once already, you're not interested in using it anymore. You don't want to fulfill You don't want to praise me with the extra. Goodbye, you don't live anymore. And therefore, Borei Olam set this whole thing up because he didn't use his talent once. Therefore, a person has to take this very seriously. If a person has certain kohot, that's what he came to this world for. And if he doesn't use it, or he becomes lazy, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not serving me with the Odi. So they go, what are you here for? What's your function? With this, we explained Al Pi HaDirash, the first Pasuk in this week's Parashah, which is also the same concept. The Pasuk says, Dabel B'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people. V'yikhu li terumah, which means, take from me terumah. The terumah in this Pasuk is talking about terumah, what makes everybody different. Terumah literally means the harim. It's something that's elevated. Take from me a donation. But what? Take your God-given talents and channel it li, v'ikhu li. If you have a good voice, give me that voice, sing. If you have ability to teach, go teach Torah. You have money, become a baal tzedakah. You have good kavanah, become a baal tefillah. You have good kindness, become a baal chesed. Channel all your talents li, like Rashi says, li, lishmi. That's the donation you have to make. But you might ask, how do I know what my God-given talents are? Me'et kol ish asher yedevenu libo. Wherever your heart draws you to, tekhu et terumati. Wherever you feel drawn, that's already where your koach is. Even to the extent, when it comes to learning, the Gemara writes in Avodah Zarah, En adam lomed, Ela b'makom shelibo hafetz. A person can only learn things that he's drawn to. You cannot tell a person that has no heshek to learning one type of Gemara, for him to study bi'ayun, it's breaking teeth for him. The analytical studying and the depth of it, it doesn't excite him. To him, he's excited by biki'ut, by learning quickly, by hearing the concepts, by going through it. You have another person, the opposite. To learn fast, he has no flavor. To him, he needs to understand every single line, and every single Tosafot, and every single Maharsha. So each one according to what he understands. And then you have somebody else. To him, he'd rather hear Agadot. He likes the En Yaakov. That's where he gets closer to Hashem from the En Yaakov. Another guy likes to hear Parasha. Another guy likes to study Nevi. Another one guy likes to do the Tehillim. Somebody likes to read Zohar. En Adam Lamed Elam Kom Shlibo Hafetz. Rav Ari said, wherever your heart is drawn to study, study it. Because that means in the previous Gilgul, that's the Helik of Torah that you were missing. And therefore, when you came back down, you need to finish that section of Torah for your neshama. And therefore he says, don't let other people badger you and say, what, you're not learning this? You should be learning this. I don't have the same attraction that you do to that item. My attraction is to this. Why? Because that's my tikkun. So God gives a person an innate ability to know where he's supposed to be. But for our purposes that we sang over here, as a merad al-hayat bi'udi, every, that's a sigurah for long life. As long as you use your udi, your additional kohot, then Borei Olam says, you'll have a continuation. The midah keneged midah, You serve God, bi'udi, God gives you od. God gives you also an additional. Al tiftihu bindibim. Oh, bibin adam. She'en no teshua. The pasuk is telling us. Al tiftihu bindibim. Bindibim are the noblemen. These are the wealthy people. Person puts his faith in the wealthy people, they're going to give him money, they're going to support him, they're going to take care of him, they're going to settle him. Don't put your faith in Nidivim, because Nidivim, like everybody else, are very fickle. Today, they're giving you support. One day, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed, they become a little upset, and all of a sudden, they cut you out. You put your faith in Nidivim. Bore Olam, put your faith in God. Bibin Adam, she'en lo teshua. Don't put your faith in Ben Adam, because he cannot bring you salvation. I once heard a derash from Moriv Rabbi Chacham Baruch Alav Shalom on this pasuk. The way he said it, he once was trying to explain to me that many times you find that you have a wealthy person. But a lot of times the wealthy person, the nadiv, he's not the one that gets things done. He joins the committee for kavod, for honor. He likes to receive the glory. He likes to receive the credit for things that he didn't accomplish. And therefore, he would say, "Al tiftahu bindibim." When you need to get something done in your synagogue career or in your sibur career, your community work, don't always rely on the nidivim, because they're not always the best workers. They don't want to get their hands dirty. They just want to stand on stage at the end when it's done to say, "Oh, look, we got the credit." Many times, who gets the work done? The guy that doesn't have. The guy that's a simple guy, he's on the board, he doesn't have too much assets, but what? You tell him to do something, he executes. He doesn't want his name in lights. He doesn't want the kavod. These are the people that work the Shem Shamayim. That's where your salvation is going to come from. So he would read the pasuk like this. Al tiftahu bindibim. Do not put your faith to get the job done in the nidibim. However, bibin adam she'en lo. The guy that doesn't have, teshua. That's where the teshua will come from. Put a comma after enlo. Ben Adam she'enlo. The guy doesn't have money. He doesn't care about power. He's the Shem Shamayim. Ben Adam she'enlo. Teshua. That's where the salvation is going to come. But I want to explain this pasuk al pi midrash. But we have to read this next pasuk first. The next pasuk says, actually, the next few pasukim. Let's read the next pasuk first. Tetzeruho Yeshuv the Admato Bayomahu Avedu Ashtonotam. The pasuk is telling us about human beings, even the most powerful of human beings. Tetzeruho, what happens? His ruach departs from him, Yeshuv the Admato. Right away he goes back to the ground. He returns to the earth from where he came from. Bayomahu, on that day, Abidu Ashtonotav. All his plans perish. All his money and all his ideas and all his portfolio and all his dreams. Bayomahu Abidu Ashtonotav. All those plans go. David HaMelech is trying to tell us a lesson like this. How could you put your faith in a human being, whereas a human being cannot guarantee his own self? If he cannot guarantee his own existence, how then can he guarantee somebody else's existence? Which means, in a split second, God could take the biggest hasuf person, and all of a sudden, tetzeruho, he takes the ruach from him, boom, yeshuv dad meto. So if he cannot help himself, how then is he going to help others? So then why do you put your faith in human beings? You shouldn't put your faith not in your boss, not in your company, not in your government. Why? Because again, tetzeruho, yeshuv admato. The way I explained tonight in Seudah Shlishit, based on this pasuk, they say a human being is nothing more than a sophisticated balloon. What are we at the end of the day? A person sees a big balloon. He gets scared. Wow, what is? Then he realizes, what is it? It's just filled with hot air. How easy it is to break the balloon. You just take a needle, boom, and it's gone. What is a human being at the end of the day? He's a balloon. The only thing that's keeping us alive is the air that's inside of us. How fragile are we? All the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to take is the pin, boom, Tetzeruha, once the Ruach goes out, like a balloon, Yeshuv Admato, it sinks to the ground. Therefore, we should never be afraid of people. Even when the biggest anti-Semites get up with their rhetoric and he's a balloon, you ever hear they say, he's full of hot air. That's what he is. Every human being is hot air. And therefore, in 1 second, the Kadosh Baruch Hu could pop him. And the only thing that's keeping him alive is Rucho. Tetzei Rucho, Yeshuv Admato. All his plans and all his rhetoric and all his ideas goes out the window. So what are you putting your faith in him for? Or the opposite, what are you scared from him for? He cannot harm you. He's just a balloon. And just like you're not afraid of a balloon, don't be afraid of a human being. One of the Mefarshim explained this pasuk. And I heard this, Chacham Yaakov Katzin, Alav Hashalom, always used to say this. He used to say that a person, when he's born, is given a certain amount of words. How many words is going to speak? And once already he uses the quota of words that was allotted to him, then already after that, God forbid, he perishes. So with this, we explain the pasuk. It says in the Mishnah also that Divrei Torah is not counted. The pasuk says, V'dibarta bam. Speak Divrei Torah. The pasuk of Tehillim in another chapter says, Ha'omnam elem. Does God want you to be in elem, to be mute? Tzedek tedaberun. When it comes to tzedek, which is Divrei Torah, tedaberun. Speak. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Kol ha'osek b'divrei Torah zoche l'dvarim herbe. Now we understand it on a different way. Kol ha'osek b'divrei Torah, if you study and learn divrei Torah, zoche l'dvarim l'dburim herbe, which means your extended play. You zoche to many more words. But if you speak divrei chol, you're charged. So he was very careful to measure the words. I explained to you in the beginning of the shiur tonight. Where does the words come from? From which part of your body? From the neshama. Which part of the neshama? The ruach. Because what did the pasuk say? Nefesh chaya. And how does the Targum explain nefesh chaya? Ruach. Memalela. So the speech comes from the ruach. So the pasuk says, Tetze ruho. Once already you run out of ruach, which means you run out of words, that comes from the ruach memalela, Yeshuv Admato. Finish, your time is up. Yeshuv Admato. Now he's got to go back to the ground. Also you learn from this, Yeshuv Admato. He goes back to the ground. Bayom ahu avdu shtunotav. At the end of the day, what is he left with? He's only left with Admato, his earth. The only acquisition that a person has at the end of 120 is admato. It doesn't say yeshuv lebinyano lekaspo lehono at the end of the day. There's one thing, admato. He goes back to his clog of earth. Like I told you many times, there are no pockets in shrouds because you cannot take it with you. And therefore, the pasuk is reminded, you're putting your faith in this man? He's going to leave this world like he came into this world, with nothing. Therefore, put your faith in God. Who's a perfect example of that? The next pasuk. Ashrei she'el Yaakov be'ezro, sivro, al Adonai Elohav. Ashrei she'el Yaakov be'ezro. Praise the person who the God of Jacob helps him. Sivro, and he puts his hope on God. Yaakov Avinu was the classic example of somebody that put his faith in God. We see it in many episodes. Yaakov went through many difficulties. Esav, Lavan, Yosef, Dinah, Binyamin, and with all that, he still remained steadfast in his betachon. So we say, Ashrei she'el Yaakov be'ezro, that the God of Jacob is at his aid. Because just like Yaakov remained steadfast, Sivro, the Midrash says the word Sivro can also be read Shivro. Yaakov Abinu lived in Misraim, in Canaan. There was a famine in Canaan. The Pasuk says, Vayar Yaakov ki yesh shevet b'Misraim. He saw that there's food in Egypt. So he tells his children, go down and bring food. But the Hachamim say, with all that, he didn't panic. He didn't lose his faith in Borei Olam. Which is even at a time of famine in Misraim, in Canaan. And according to Chazal, really he only sent them down because he really didn't need the food. He had food. Why did he have food? There was a famine. Because since he had so much faith in God, Borei Olam was able to provide for Yaakov even in such a case. So we say, Sivro, Shivro, he had Shevet in Canaan. He only sent his kids down for Marit Ayin because he didn't want people to think that he's rich. So he did it for the charade of it. Sivro al Hashem Elohav. But now we can explain the sequence of the Pesukim. Al tiftahu min dimim b'ben adam she'eno teshua. Titse ruho yashuv l'admato v'yom ahu abdu ushtonotav ashrei she'el Yaakov be'ezro. Sivro al Adonai Elohav. What does it mean? There's a famous Hazan. It says, when Adam HaRishon was scrolling through all the generations, so he got to David HaMelech, and he saw that David HaMelech Alev HaShalom was only supposed to live for 3 hours. So Adam said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is this? He said, this is my opinion, this is what I have, I only have 3 hours for him. So he says, but he's Mashiach, we need to give him more. Hashem says, I don't have any years for him. If you want to give him from yours, we'll take a donation. He says, how many years do I have? He says, you have 1,000. So, okay, I'm willing to give him 70. Take 70 from my account, give it to David HaMelech. And he did. What happened? The Midrash goes on to say, when Adam HaRishon got close to 930, he told Borei Olam, I'm changing my mind. What do you mean you're taking it back? He says, I'm a young man, I'm only 930 years old. You can't take me now in the prime of my life. I want the ears. That's why he once explained the pasuk in Tehillim. Adam la hevel dama. Adam is like hevel. Hevel is, his life is hevel havalim. It's frivolity. It's vanity. But hevel also is the son of Adam. Hevel lived a short amount of time because Cain killed him. When Adam was 930, Adam la hevel dama. He says, I'm like Hevel. You're going to take me in the prime of my life? I didn't live yet. I want those 70 years back. So Borei Olam says, Adam, you made a neder. You're going to be worse than your descendant? He says, who's my descendant? He says, in the future, you're going to have a great, 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 great grandchild. His name is Yaakov. And what does it say? Vayidar Yaakov. Neder lemor. Yaakov made a neder. Im yeh Elohim amadi, ושמרני בדרך, ונתני לחם לאכול, ובגד ללבוש, etc. And what happened? After God protected Yaakov, Yaakov made good on his neder. And he fulfilled it. You're going to let your great-great-grandson Yaakov be better than you? Not nice. So when he heard the story of Yaakov, Adam and Rishon said, okay, give the 70 years to Yaakov. I'm not going to break my neder. So this is what happened over here now. David HaMelech is saying, I was relying on Adam and Rishon for my 70 years. He gave it to me, so I was good. Al tiftehu bin dibim, ve-ben Adam, even in Adam and Rishon, in the teshua, you can't trust man. He gave it to me, and he wants it back. Then David says, Ashrei she'el Yaakov ve'ezro. Fortunate is the one that has Yaakov Abinu at his help. Because of Yaakov Abinu that kept his word. That was the catalyst that caused Adam HaRishon to make good on his neder. Sevro al Hashem Elohav. Therefore, I was able to have the proper life. That's the sequence of the Pesukim. Okay. Which means even the second Pesuk is part of it. Titziruho Yashuv Admato, on the day that Adam HaRishon was going back to the ground, Hayomu Abdur Shturotav, he changed his mind. But Ashrei She'el Yaakov Ve'ezro, but Yaakov Avinu saved the day. The next Pasuk. Oseh Shamayim Va'ares. Et Hayam Ve'et Kol Asherbam. Ashomer Emet Le'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oseh Shamayim Va'ares. That's the present. God is continually creating the heavens and the earth. Et hayam, the waters, ve'et kol asherbam. Ashomer emet le'olam. He safeguards the truth forever. Which means like this. A normal carpenter, or somebody that builds something, after he builds the item, he's removed from it. He doesn't think about the table all day long. He moves on to the next item. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Oseh Shamayim, he makes the Shamayim Va'aretz et Yam et Kol Asherbam, and as he makes it, Hashomer Emet Le'olam, he preserves it forever. That means he constantly keeps it on his mind and keeps it in existence. Kivyachol, if the Kadosh Baruch Hu would take his mind off the creation for 1 second, it would go back to Tohu Vavohu. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu was intimately involved, and he creates the creation every second. That's why the Pasuk is written in the present. Oh. There's a Midrash on this. The Midrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz, Et Hayam, Et Kol Asherbam. Hashem is in the whole world. There's no place where God is not. There was once a boy, he was on a boat with the Goyim, and the boat was about to capsize. And everybody started to pray to their gods. So they turned to the boy, they said, pray to your God also. So he prayed to Borei Olam. And sure enough, the second the boy started to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything calmed down. The Goyim realized that it was in the zikut of this boy. So they said, we're jealous of you. I said, why? He said, because we worship Avodah Zarah. Our gods are only found in the church, in the building, in our homes. We can't take our God with us. However, you have a God that is everywhere. And therefore, wherever you go, He's with you. Where's the Avodah Zarah? They can't carry the whole Avodah Zarah with them every time they go out. But the Jew doesn't have to carry anything. Oseh Shamayim Va'ares, Et Hayam Ve'et Kol Asherbam, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth, Et Hayam and everything else. And therefore, wherever the Jew goes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes with him. Now we explain the next Pesukim, also in sequence. Oseh Mishpat La'ashukim. That God does justice for those that are exploited. The Goyim that exploit the Jewish people in Galut, don't worry. Oseh Mishpat La'ashukim. God is going to do justice to La'ashukim. For those that were exploited, and the ones that exploited them are going to get punished. Noten lechem, that Ivim. God gives bread to the hungry. Hashem matir asurim. God brings people out of prison. He saves them from their captors. Hashem pokeh havrim. God gives sight to the blind. The blind man is considered like he's dead. Ani hashuv kamet. Hashem zokef kifufim. Borei Olam straightens the people that are bent. It says that from the time that the Jewish people went into exile, they're never able to stand straight anymore. From the tzarot of the galut, everybody becomes hunchback. When Mashiach comes, Hashem zokef kifufim. God is going to straighten them. Hashem ohev sadikim. God loves the sadikim. Now this is strange. What does Hashem ohev sadikim got to do with anything over here? You're talking about how God protects the underdog. The blind guy is going to get healed. The downtrodden one is going to be protected. The one that's in captivity is going to be saved. The one that's exploited. And you should know also, God loves the Sadiqim. That's a positive. It doesn't fit. So Hazal say, these Pesukim were written based on a famous episode in the Torah. Yosef and Eshet Potiphar. Eshet Potiphar was trying to seduce Yosef every single day. Shechra'im me, that he should commit a crime of promiscuity, of arayot. He didn't want. So she was a very influential woman. So she comes along and says, if you don't commit the avon with me, I'm going to give you torture. What does he say? Oseh mishpat la'ashukim. Don't worry. Borei Olam gives justice to the ones that are exploited. So she says to him, I'm going to starve you. He says, Noten lechem l'ra'avim. She says, I'm going to imprison you. Hashem matir asurim. God takes us out of prison. If you don't commit the avon, I'm going to blind you. Hashem pokei avrim. So she says, I'm going to whip you until you become hunchback. Hashem zokef kifufim. God straightens the bent. And nothing that he said or she said was able to seduce him. Hence Yosef is referred to as Yosef HaSadiq. Hashem ohev Sadiqim. God loves the Sadiqim. The Sadiqim that no matter what the pressure is for them to commit the Avon, they still remain loyal to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Incidentally, from this Pasuk we learn Halacha. It says in the Gemara Berachot, Daf Yud Bet, Kishekoreya Koreya Bebaruch, Ukshe Zokef Zokef Bashem. When a person is bowing in the Amidah, when he says Baruch, Kishekoreya Koreya Bebaruch, but when he makes Zekifa, when does he go up? Bashem. When he says Hashem's name, he goes back up. Shne'emar Hashem Zokef Kifufim. Once already, when you mention Hashem's name, Zokef Kifufim, you have to go up. So I once heard a derasha on this Gemara. Kishekoreya Koreya Bebaruch. Kishezokef Zokef Bashem. Generally, a person's attitude has to be of humility. Especially when you look at all the blessings that God gave a person, it has to bring a person to humility because God can take these blessings away from us in any moment. And therefore, the blessings of a person should not cause him to become a ga'va. On the contrary, he has to know how ephemeral, how temporary they are. So therefore, the Gemara says, Kishekoreya Koreya Bebaruch. When you look at the berachot, the baruch of your life, koreya, it causes a person to go down, to humble himself. However, there's certain times where you cannot use humility. Sometimes you cannot say, who am I? When there's something to fight for Hashem, like Shevet Levi, when they saw that the people worshipping their Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Hashem Elai. Imagine if Shevet Levi would have said, what are we? We're nothing. It's not for us. No, when you see Adud Hashem, then already you have to gird yourself with Ga'avad D'Kedusha, and you have to go and defend the Torah, you have to defend the religion, you have to defend the Shomrei Mitzvot from the imposters. So the pasuk, the Gemara is saying, Ukshezokef, when it comes a time that a person has to stand erect, zokef b'Hashem. Only when the zekifa is for Hashem. When it's to stand up against the destroyers of the religion, when you're coming to fight the war of Hashem, zokef, that's already able to use the gava, the kedusha. Hashem shomeret gerim. Yatom ve'almana yaodet. God protects gerim. What is a ger? Ger can mean a convert, but a ger can also mean a stranger. Like Avraham Avinu said, ger v'toshav anuchi ammechem, which means like this: a stranger, maybe he's a foreigner that's living in another country. He feels he has nobody to protect him. He doesn't have his family with him. He doesn't have friends. He's all alone. David HaMelech says, Hashem shomer et gerim, that the person that feels estranged in a foreign society, Borei Olam will protect him. I once heard a beautiful explanation. What is the root of the word ger? Where's ger come from? Ged, the root is, there's a pasuk that says, Lo taguru mepene ish. Taguru means to be afraid, to be scared. Don't let somebody terrorize you. Lo taguru mepene ish. Don't become intimidated. The ger, by nature, is intimidated. The ger, by nature, feels he's terrorized by everybody around him. He feels that he's alone. So therefore they refer to him as a ger, because he's constantly in gira, he's constantly in fear, midashono taguru. Yatom ve'almana yaudid. God encourages the orphans and the widows. It's very important to know that. But manan, there's many yatomim and almanot in the world, they have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a special protection. Yatom ve'almana ya'odid. If you look in history, some of the most successful people were yatomim. Even more than people that had parents. Why? Because the yatom now receives the extra measure of encouragement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an extra si'ata d'shmaya of yatom ve'almana ya'odid. But I once saw, brought down, what's the root of the word yatom? Where do they get yatom from? Why do they call them yatom? Why is yatom an orphan? So they said that the root of the word yatom comes from the word tam. Tam is somebody that's simple. Why? Unfortunately, the yatom doesn't have parents. And the main education of a child comes from the parents. And lo'aleinu v'lo'aleichem, when a child doesn't have parents, so he becomes uneducated. And therefore he remains a tam. And therefore he's called yatom b'lashon tam. Why is an almana called an almana? Because almana comes from the word ilem. Ilem means a mute. The almana, the widow, is never able to overcome her sorrow at the loss of her husband. She's always at a lack of words to express her grief. Her grief is not able to be expressed verbally. It's just in her nature, in her way. And therefore she's called almana. She's ilem. She loses her ability to express herself. And of course God thwarts the ways of the wicked. Ya'vet, he ruins their plans. But with this I want to explain Al Pi HaDerash. We know in Haggadah Shel Pesach there's four sons. You have the Hacham. The Hacham is the gifted child. You have the Rasha. That's the child that went off the Derech. Then you have the Tam. The Tam, the way we're explaining tonight, is the Yatom. He's the Tam, he's the Yatom. He's the child that comes to the Seder. He has to eat by somebody else for the Seder. He doesn't have parents to sit at the Seder with him. He's the Tam. And then you have the She'enu Yodayam the She'an. That's the special child who doesn't even have the mental ability to ask a question. He's the handicapped child or the child that's autistic, Bar Minan. These are the four children. And those four children, unfortunately, are still around in Klal Yisrael. We know the brilliant children, those are the special ones. And we know the children that are off the derech, and we know the children that have special needs. But there's also the Tam, that's the Yatom. And each child asks a question according to his situation. The Chacham, he says, Na'edut, V'chokim, V'mishpatim. He's a brilliant kid, he wants to understand everything. He's thirsty for knowledge. Teach me. I want to know the Edut, I want to know the Chokim, I want to know the Mishpatim. He's asking like a Chacham asks. The Rasha, he's the kid that's not interested in Haggadah, he's not interested in religion. He's just interested in having a good time in life. What does he ask? Ma'avodah zot. He comes to the Seder in his jeans, with his cell phone. He didn't even prepare for the holiday. And right away he's making fun of everybody. Yeah, I'm going out to the movies tonight. Del Pesach. Ma'avodah zot lachem. And we see this even in the most religious families. Where there's always one or a few Bermanan children that, the black sheep, they're not interested. The She'enu Yodei L'Sha'al, he can't ask anything. He just sits at the Seder listless. Everything's going right over his head. Maybe his Neshama understands it, which I'm certainly he does. But more than that, he doesn't understand what's going on. I once said, so if he doesn't understand what's going on, let him go to sleep. But for that reason, because his Neshama does understand it. His Neshama understands everything. And therefore, even the She'enu Yodei L'Sha'al has a prominent seat at the Seder. But tonight I want to explain to you the question of the Tam. What does the Tam say? Mazot. What is this? V'amartai elav v'chosikad osiyanu adonai mitzrayim. And we answer him, God take us out of Egypt. V'chosikad with strength. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ishbar lo yeda, Uksi lo yavin et zot. The people, they don't understand, the fools don't understand, lo yavin et zot. They don't understand et zot. What don't they understand? Befroach v'shaim ke mu'aseh v'yasisu ko po'a le'aved. Why did a wicked prosper? And why did the innocent suffer? David HaMelech says, they don't understand it. And how does David refer to this dilemma of mankind? Lo yavin et zot. They don't understand et zot. They don't understand why. Why is this happening to them? The Yatom comes to the table on the night of the Seder. And when he sees all the family sitting together, all he could think about is, Mazot. Why did this happen to me? Why is it every family has a mother and a father? The father tells over the story to the children. Why did this happen to me? Why am I the Tam? Why did I have this? He cannot help himself from the question. This is what he's doing. He don't care about Pesach. They all are questioning Pesach. Yep, he don't know Pesach. He wants no mazot. What's this? What is this that happened to me? Could somebody answer me? And the answer to him is, my dear child, the Jewish people were also in Mitzrayim. And they were also like Yitomim. They were also oppressed. And they were also under the worst circumstances. And then all of a sudden, B'chuzikad, Hotzeanu, Hashem, and Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us and took us out of Mitzrayim. And eventually, we went from Shi'abud L'Geula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to turn your life around as well. That even though now you're depressed, And even though you're despondent, just like the Jewish people, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bechosek yad. He has great strength, and he can change your life. Yatom ve'almana yodid. Borei Olam is going to give you encouragement. And just like he did not forsake the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, he is not going to forsake you as well. And he's going to bring you also miyagon l'simcha, u'me'evel li'yom tov, u'me'afila le'or gadol. You're going to praise God as well. That is the answer that we give to the child of the Tam of the Yatom on the day of Pesach, this question. He's asking good. But we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is great. Even the person in the worst matzav, Kadosh Baruch Hu, now you're in darkness. But Kadosh Baruch Hu can relieve you as well. And he did it already once. He did it 3 million times over. Be'ozek yadu tzianu Hashem v'mislayim. And then we end the chapter. Yimloch Adonai le'olam, Elohai Sion le'dor v'ador, hallelujah. Once we realize that we only could put our faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu and in nobody else, we say, Yimloch Hashem le'olam, that God remain the King forever. Elohai Sion, the God of Zion, which will build the Beit HaMikdash, le'dor v'ador, throughout all the generations, hallelujah, may the name of God be blessed. These are some of the ideas that we have to think of when we come to the Pesukei de Zimra. As I said in the beginning, this is our purpose that we came into this world, in order to sing and praise God, not only Behayai, but Be'odi also. With those extra additional kohot that God gave us, we also have to use those for the service of Hashem. Ezat Hashem Zichut David HaMelech, Alev Shalom, Yegen Ba'adenu. Now we can go home and have Melaveh Malkah. Now after we earned it, after analyzing a good chapter with David HaMelech, now we go home and enjoy the Seudah Revi'i. Shavua Tov, Umurach.